He offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And there are a lot of ways in which people look at that, you know, because Abel, he offered an animal and shed its blood. And Cain brought an offering of the produce of the ground. Now, if you know anything about the Old Testament, the offerings of blood always had to do with sin. And offerings of grain had to do with, like, offerings of peace and offerings of, you know, they would offer their grain as a tribute and so on and so forth. So Cain was bringing an offering of tribute to God, almost one of, you know, of giving up something, but not giving up anything personally. And Cain was wroth when his offering was not accepted. And God said, you know, if you do well, will you not be accepted? But if you don't do well, sin lies at the door. See, Cain did not offer a sin offering. He offered some sort of peace offering, some other kind of offering, an offering, as it says. Whereas Abel offered an offering in order that he felt was consummate with the gravity of his relationship with God, that he needed to offer something with blood. And today we have I really think that the idea of blood sacrifice to us is repulsive. I know it is to me, because I've actually killed an animal and eaten it, and I didn't particularly find the experience enjoyable. That's how far removed in this modern world many of us are from the things we consume and the death we bring about. I certainly don't feel guilty about it, but he obtained witness from God that he was righteous, the righteous blood of Abel. You know, though he offered an offering for sin, or it doesn't say that, but we kind of assume that, or Abel had a sin nature like you and I. He obtained the knowledge of good and evil. But God, by his grace, could pardon him and see him as righteous. Just like he did the other fathers. Because they were not sin-free. They would have inherited the sinful nature, but God declared Abel righteous. He gave an offering, he was righteous, and Cain slew him. And a lot of times that is compared to Christ, how the right Christ, you know, the Christ was the seed given instead of Abel, the righteous seed which would deliver mankind from their sins. By it, by what? By the witness of God that he obtained. By the excellent sacrifice. His gifts. You know, God testified of his gifts, that the gifts that Abel brought were acceptable to God. And so by it, he obtained, he spoke from the dead in spirit. Again, his blood cried out from the ground. He didn't say, Cain, why is Abel here at my throne? This doesn't, I was sitting up on my throne, and suddenly, who should walk up but the ghost of Abel? I said, Abel, what are you doing here? And he says, my brother Cain slew me. And then God goes down, what hast thou done? No. But rather, you know, where is your brother Cain? Am I my brother's keeper? No. Abel cried from the ground. Because that is where his blood was spilled. The life is in the blood. Yes, and the spirit returns to God who gave it, and everything God said in that, you know, where is your brother? Like he didn't know it is for the benefit of the one and for the perspective of the one to whom he is speaking. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. It was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we see, Enoch was translated. That word is metatithemi, which means to transfer or transport. He was transported that he should not see death. Now, some people think that means he never died. You know, and Enoch was not because the Lord took him. He was translated. But it also says in the scriptures, and there's several ways of looking at this, and I have to cover it because it was one of those verses that people might say, see, Paul, you say, and it's not that I say, it's that the Gospel of John says, no man hath ascended into heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. So there's no man in heaven who has ascended there other than Christ. So what about Enoch? What about Elijah? I know people are going to ask that too. Elijah was also translated. He was taken up. And Paul, what about him? He went, he was taken to the third heaven. Or John, he was taken to heaven. John, who wrote the Gospel of John, was taken in the spirit. And as Paul said, within the body or without the body, I cannot tell. But Enoch being translated has this idea of his body being changed or taken somewhere. And that's the point. He's been transported, taken. But it doesn't say where. It doesn't say he was, it says he was not. So he could have been taken to some other place, meaning another part of the world. Maybe in the part of the world where he was living, men sought to slay him like they sought to slay Abel. But God took him and took him to another place, and that he died there yet again. I mean, well, that he went and finally died and was buried. That he should not see death. He that believes, and you know, Jesus said, he that believes on me shall never see death. And the Pharisees said, you say that whoever believes in me shall never taste of death. But it also says that Christ himself tasted death for every man. There's a difference between seeing death and tasting death. I've talked about this before in other Bible studies. That the sight of death means to truly experience death as it really is. To see death is to die and to never rise again. Because that is what death is. It is that state of unending, eternal death. Whereas to die and be risen from the dead is to only taste death. It is not to truly see it. Jesus said we will never see death. And Enoch was not to see death. But it is given unto men, as Paul had said before, once to die. So there are several ways you could look at this, as I was saying before. You could look at it the way I just explained, that Enoch did indeed die, but as other men do, and he is like us, in that we shall never see death, but we will taste it, as Christ tasted it. Or you could look at it in the sense of, when John said, no man hath ascended to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, that he meant, other than the obvious examples of those who were taken there expressly. What he meant is, that it is not the natural order of things for men to go to heaven.